of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From the text in Luke 18, Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Little children understand something that is generally foreign to us adults, and that is how to get one's way by begging. I think those of you with little children or who have had children know what I mean, especially when you go into a store with candy or toys as temptation. And I think it's safe to say that we've all seen temper tantrums in stores from children not getting what they want. And I tend to esteem parents who don't give in, even though the crying may be shameful. Another example is when they beg for food, whether it's a snack or whether they are impatient for supper to start. And while we know that giving them food will spoil their appetite, it's sometimes just easier to give in a little. But in both these examples, children show something that we don't immediately recognize. They know exactly whom they are asking. The child doesn't go to a stranger in the store to ask for the candy. Nor does the child go to dad, who is sitting on the couch, to ask for a little bit of what mom is cooking for supper that evening. No, they beg for something from the one who can't provide it. And we see this perhaps in our prayers at night. I remember my brothers and sisters, when they were little, asking for the most outlandish things in their prayers, whether it be a pony or a real-life monster truck. No doubt, I prayed similar things when I was their age. But what we should notice when a child prays a prayer like this is that they recognize that their parents cannot get them these things. They perhaps may have asked their parents, or maybe they just know that these things cannot come from their parents. They ask for something from God, which is impossible and which is outside of their reach. And so it is with God in prayer. Jesus, in our gospel lesson for today, actually teaches us a parable to the effect that we should always pray and not lose heart. He is encouraging us to come to God in prayer for things that are out of our reach. And he's encouraging us to pray for the same thing over and over again. For God does not get tired in the same prayer spoken again and again. It's encouragement to persevere when it seems like there's no answer. And so Jesus tells the story of a widow coming before a judge. Someone had wronged her in some way, and she needed justice against this adversary. So she went to the only man that could help her, an unrighteous judge. Now this judge is probably the worst person for her to come to, because he did not fear God, nor did he respect man. And what this says is, the widow could not beg on the basis of morality, of God's law. She could not say, "Be a judge of God's law and give me justice for my adversary based on what God says." The widow could also not beg based on the basis of kindness or of social order, because the judge had no respect for man. He did not care. He was not kind, nor did he care about his reputation before men. And finally, the widow was not even in the position to ask for such justice. Her husband had died, and there is no mention of someone coming to who could argue her case before her in this court. And yet, she persisted. She persisted in demanding justice from the only man who could give it from her. And it is telling by the judge's response as to the extent that she would go. He says that he will give her justice, not because he fears God or not because he respects man, but because he is tired of her bothering him, and so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. The phrase "beat me down" is probably best translated as "give me a black eye" or "slap me in the face," if that gives you any indication as to this widow's severity. And yet, the judge did relent. He didn't relent because he was obligated to in any way, but because the widow was persistent. He did his job simply because she would not let him rest. And so, even in our lives, we recognize when persistence is rewarded. Athletes, for example, are rewarded in their persistence by following a certain physical regimen. Promotions are rewarded by one's work for persisting in doing good work. And studying and reading in school will generally lead to good grades. And this is because we recognize the connection between persistence and someone who can reward us based on that persistence. And it's important. There's a connection between persistence and someone who can reward us. Persistence is not rewarded in and of itself. There is someone who needs to be moved to do the rewarding. And often we assume a fair judge who will judge according to the rules. An athlete who runs a certain speed or exerts himself in a certain way will get a starting position in the lineup. If you show yourself to be better than all your peers at work, when the time comes for the promotion, you will get it. Or when you study and study and know all the work, you will know what is on the test, the answers. But what do you do if the judge is unfair? What if you are the best athlete on the team, but you are benched for no reason? What if you do all your work, but the lazy man in the office gets the promotion? What if you studied and studied and did all your homework, but you inexplicably fail an exam or a test? These are times when our persistence is tested. These are times when we are told by everyone to quit the team, quit the job, or drop the class. But how similar does this sound to our relationship with God? Sometimes, a lot. For this is the connection that Jesus is drawing. There are some similarities between the unrighteous judge and God, which are worth pointing out. The first is that God is our only source of justice. Just as the widow went straight to the person who could give her justice, so too is God our only source of justice and righteousness. The second similarity is that God, like the unrighteous judge, appears not to hear or to answer our prayers. Third, neither the unrighteous judge nor God judges fairly. The judge cared not for God or man and was not fair towards this woman. But God, on the other hand, cares deeply for his people. God is love, and this love takes action for his beloved. God is not fair in this aspect, that he will go to great distances to provide justice for his elect. He is not fair, but he is not fair for our benefit. God will give justice and righteousness to the elect, because he has promised to do so. Indeed, that is what God has done for the world on the cross. And this is why Jesus says that justice will come speedily. God has heard the cry of his believers for salvation from sin, death, and the devil. And he has answered us speedily. God saw the death of his son on the cross, and he saw that he took our place. It might not be fair in our eyes, but Jesus died in our place. And we might ask, how can one man die in the place of all mankind? And that is because he is God's son, and he fulfilled the will and law of God. And God answered that death speedily by giving us his righteousness. And we hear about it in God's word. And this God's word declares the salvation to us. Our epistle lesson for today especially points this out, as St. Paul is encouraging Timothy to remain firm in the faith and in the scriptures. I quote, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God. St. Paul then continues, talking about Jesus Christ, who is our judge. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. You see, God the Father was the judge at the cross, condemning Jesus in our place. But now Jesus is our faithful judge, who will judge us on Judgment Day. He is the one to whom we continuously pray and are heard. And so, in his mercy, he wants to listen to his people. The unrighteous judge, on the one hand, didn't want to be pestered, but Jesus does. His ears are always open to the cries of his people. And you are not bothering God by coming to him in prayer, even if it's the same prayer you've been praying for many years. He wants you to keep at it. And so, when Martin Luther preached on these texts, he liked to tell the story of a woman named Monica. Monica was a woman of patient and persistent prayer. She was a faithful Christian who attended church daily, and each day prayed like the woman in the parable. Monica was also the mother of a man who led a rather rebellious youth, living promiscuously and even getting caught up in a false non-Christian religion. One day, Monica dragged her son to the church to get him straightened out, but to no avail. Her son would not listen to her mother, to his mother, or to the church. He liked to say things like, "Lord, make me a Christian, but not yet." The bishop advised Monica simply to pray to the Lord for her son. "Leave him alone," the bishops told her. "Just pray to God for him. From his own reading, he will discover his mistakes and the depth of his profanity." When Monica insisted that something more be done for her son, the bishop said, "Leave me and go in peace. It cannot be that a son of these tears should be lost." And so Monica prayed for her son with a mother's tears for more than 10 years. Later, Monica's son, who we now know as St. Augustine, wrote in his confessions that his mother Monica wept more over his unbelief than other mothers wept over the death of their sons. Later, when God's time had come to answer Monica's persistent prayer, he answered with even greater blessings than she knew to ask for. And we also have the example of Jacob in our Old Testament lesson, an example for persistent prayer. He wrestled with God all night until the breaking of the day, and would not give up, even though his hip was put out of his socket, until God blessed him. When he prevailed, his name was changed to Israel, and through him would come the whole nation and people of Israel. And so there is an example, there's an encouragement in both of these examples towards constant prayer. God is listening to you, the elect. He desires persistence in prayer, even when you think that he's not listening or answering. Be persistent like Monica, and be persistent like Jacob. You may not get the answer that you want, or in the time that you expect, but know that God is not like the unrighteous judge that does not listen to you or care about you. He does care about you, and he will answer you in his own time and in his own way. So will God find this faith that persists when he returns? Will he find the faith that trusts the word of God? Or will he find the faith that exercises only sporadic prayer as prayed only in response to troubles? This is where Jesus leaves us at the end of the gospel lesson. He leaves us thinking about our own prayer life. And so find a time to pray that is good for you. Find a peaceful time of the day, whether early in the morning before everyone has woken up, or late in the day when everyone has gone to bed. Pray with your children around the dinner table, and pray with your spouse. Read your scriptures and use the Psalms, especially in your prayer life. You cannot exhaust their meaning. You cannot exhaust God with your prayer. And so in conclusion, just as children pray to God and ask for outlandish things, whether they be ponies or real-life monster trucks, perhaps we shouldn't correct them, at least not right away. They are learning to pray to God and should be commended for doing so. For your heavenly Father is far from being an unrighteous judge, as your children know. He hears your prayers and desires them. He will answer them as he knows best and in his own time. We therefore should pray to him with constant and regular prayer, knowing that he will answer his dear children. And so with the word of God upon our lips, through the Psalms or through the word of God, we know that with these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true Father and we are his true children, so that with all boldness and confidence, we may ask him as dear children ask their dear Father. The peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.